Hello and welcome to another episode of The Fitness Solution, and I am so excited to bring this to you. And the only reason I'm so excited to bring this to you is because it's a repeat. It's not quite a repeat. So I've got the amazing, the astounding, the marvelous, the wonderful Susan Niebergall back in your ears for you today, and she's just brilliant. You might remember the name from, we did an episode last March together, and it's actually turned out to be one of the most popular episodes of The Fitness Solution. So if you haven't listened to that, head back through the archive and give it a listen. But Susan basically agreed to get on the phone with me when I was in quarantine in a hotel room on my own. I think she was taking pity on me, to be honest. And we had another just great chat about life, fitness, and it's a really, really, really special time for Susan at the moment, because she has released herself a book, and it is called Fit at Any Age, It's Never Too Late. And yes, I have linked to the Amazon website for it in the show notes, so you can grab that straight away. I couldn't recommend the book highly enough. I can't recommend Susan highly enough. She's just one of those superstars who it's always nice to spend time with, to listen to, and to listen to her fantastic advice. The foreword in the book is done by my friend Jordan Syatt as well, and it's just all just great. And you'll hear in the episode we talk about the book and the process of it and what it was and how she came to producing it and everything else. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. It's quite a short one, so that's not a bad thing either. It saves you listening to me rant for a long time. And yes. There was something else I was going to say. That's right. There's a little bit of Wi-Fi connection problems throughout the episode. Just bear with it. They come back. So if it drops a little bit and you're listening to it, that's why. Just a heads up. If it annoys you too much, then no worries. Just move on. But it's been a pleasure having you for as long as I was able to have you for. Great. Look, I really hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did recording it. And I can't wait to speak to you again very, very soon. Oh, don't forget, if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean an awful lot to, one, download the book from Susan, Fit at Any Age, It's Never Too Late. But number two, make sure you leave me a rating and a review on wherever you listen to this podcast, because they really, really help get the podcast out to more people. And if you value listening to my voice, then hopefully someone else will, and we can move forward on there. That's marvelous. Right. So now, as always, let's hand over to myself and the interview. Thank you. Ciao, ciao. Welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. And it brings joy to my heart and a smile to my face to be able to introduce to you the wonderful, the masterful, the amazing, and might I add, the most successful fitness solution interviewee of all time on her last episode, which I think we did in March. It's the gorgeous Susan Niebergall. How on earth are you, Susan?
You are way too kind. I am doing great. It's so good to actually be able to see you and to chat again. Love it.
Lovely, isn't it? I gotta say, you're looking astoundingly well. I think 2020 has been good to
you. Thank you.
Yeah, you look great.
You know, aside from everything that's been going on, one thing that has really benefited me out of 2020 is my sleep has gotten so much better. I've changed a couple things around and really worked on a nighttime, like shutdown early, kind of start that process early. And I've stopped setting the clock for an alarm for some ungodly early morning. I have to grind hour, you know? I'm naturally waking up kind of early, but I'm doing it when my body's ready to. I don't know. Sleep is like life changing.
It's been weird being locked in a room. The first sort of few days, I was obviously recovering from jet lag and I needed a few naps and stuff like that and things and getting over it. And then that was the first few days of being in the room. The last sort of three or four, I'm getting like only five hours sleep a night, maybe 6 hours sleep a night. I'm normally crashing, watching the telly at like 10 o'clock in the evening, maybe for like an hour, maybe 45 minutes. And then I managed to get myself back to sleep. But then I'm awake. Like this morning, I was awake at 4:30 and I just couldn't, maybe even earlier, 4:15. And I just couldn't get back to sleep. And I didn't really settle down for sleep until about 11:30 last night. And it's amazing. Like, and I know why. It's a couple of things. One, it's I'm bored and falling asleep watching telly. That's not a good state to be in as it is, right? However, but I also know it's like sheer lack of activity, like physical movement. Like I'm not walking, I'm not moving. I'm literally spending all day sat on my desk, typing, working. I'm, you know, on calls, podcast recordings. And then if I'm not, I'm eating or I'm just watching telly of an evening. And it's the link between, I've never experienced this before because I've always been really active, but that link between you not sleeping well and you're not moving, or you not even like just going for a walk, you're not physically engaging yourself through a day. I knew it happened, but I'd never experienced it. And experiencing it, I'm like, God, you've got to go move so you tire yourself out so you can get a good night's sleep, because it's not nice waking up at 4:00 in the morning. And I'm lucky, like I haven't got kids here or anything like that to worry about. But if you had, or a job to do, like, you know, in corporate America where you're under pressure or whatever it might be, like that's tough. So, I mean, yeah, get on, message one, get on top of your sleep. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a game changer. It has been a game changer. So one positive that's happened out of all this craziness. Well, there's more than one positive, but that's one of them. That's for sure.
There's plenty more, isn't there? Like you were just telling me offline that you've written a book in 2021 or 2020.
Yeah. Well, I actually started it before 2020. So
sure, we won't tell people
just,
that.
It's taken a long time. It way longer than it should have. But it. It took way longer than it should have, way longer. Because I'm not a writer. I'm not, you know, I don't consider myself a writer. And so this was hard, sitting down and trying to map out the story, which the book is kind of it's a memoir, but it's a fitness related memoir. So meaning you get to read all about all the dumb things that I did back, the fads back in the day, the hairstyles, the classes and what everyone wore that are now Halloween costumes, I may add, all the dieting things that I thought I was doing right all of those years. All the things I tried didn't work, and how I thought I was doing every single thing right. So it's really relatable, I feel like, because so many people that I talk to think the same thing. They've gone through the same thing, right? So as I was telling you offline here, that people are going to read this, especially people from my generation, and they're probably going to be nodding their head a lot. Like, oh yeah, I did that stupid thing too. But the premise of the book is just to kind of walk you through all the mistakes I made and how I turned it around and all the things that kind of fell into place to make that happen. And just to kind of hammer home the point that it is in fact never too late to change, because I didn't really make any kind of sustainable changes till I was in my 50s. I mean, that's kind of how it is. And I walk you through all of that up to how I did all of that and then how my business was born and how that played a role in everything and kind of where I'm at now. And then there's a how-to part of the book too, you know, how to set your calories. I walk you through the steps to do it, to actually start, you know. But it's going to be an easy, light read. It's not super long. It was kind of fun to have to remember some of that stuff. It was hard, but just sitting down and writing was really tough. You know, I had to block off time to do that, but it's done. So yay.
That's amazing. And what's it called? Yeah. So everyone, because I'm sure everyone will want to read it.
Yeah. It's called Fit at Any Age. It's Never Too Late.
And when's the release date?
The exact date, I don't know. And I don't know. It obviously varies on when this comes out, but I'm hoping within 2 to 3 weeks from where we are today.
Super. So we're looking
so at that would put us January, at the end of January, yeah, beginning February. Of Feb.
Hey, yeah, it'll be a birthday like present that. For me. I'll get it for my birthday. 5th of Feb
there you go.
Is my birthday. I'll grab that for sure. No, I mean, what you bring up about like the process of writing a book. I did a lot of writing when I was at drama school. We had to do an awful lot of script writing and we had to produce, like, there was one class called character analysis, which is steeped in how movement affects the brain, which I use a lot in fitness. And is, for that, we had to write our own little scene. We had to write our own little scene, but it was just us. So you have nobody else in the room with you acting against. It's you, but you have to produce an entire scene. So you have to write both sides of dialogue. You have to make it a story. You have to make it a comprehensive scene. And then the best ones get picked to be shown as an example of the work of character analysis. And there's loads of history behind it and everything else. And I was very fortunate enough that mine got picked. I played a little schoolboy called Kevin who got locked in a room with a crush by a bully who nicked his phone, which is pretty much a true story of every day of my life at school. And so it was dead easy. I didn't really have to.
Yeah, right.
And but in that, in the whole process of writing, it's so daunting. I got told this phrase, don't get it right, get it written. And it's so important, right? Like, and I say it to clients in terms of fitness all the time. It's like, look, you could spend years figuring out whether fasted cardio is better than non-fasted cardio. You could spend months wasting time on whether you're going to do keto, Slimming World, Weight Watchers, protein and calories, calorie cycling, fasting, 16-8, whatever it might be, clean. You could spend ages researching whether fructose is good for you or not. But the whole time is you're worried about getting it right as opposed to getting it written. If you just got in and did it and then then amended from the exploration of doing it, you're going to be in a much better place.
And that was exactly what happened with the book. I mean, and the coach that was helping me through all this just said, you need to write more than what you think, you know? I mean, because when you go through the editing process, they kind of chop it up and rearrange. And the editing process is like a whole world of its own. Two different rounds of editing. And it was torture.
did it break your heart when they like just chopped parts of it out?
It wasn't that. It was interesting because sometimes the editor didn't understand if it was a fitnessy thing. And I had to explain to the editor what that meant, which led me to maybe further explaining what I had written, you know? Yeah. So there was a lot of good that came out of that, but some frustration because I didn't agree with everything the editor said, you know? Yeah. So I didn't do everything, and that's pretty normal. So that felt a little weird. But it was just a big learning process and uncomfortable a lot. It was not, I don't want to say, oh, I enjoyed writing every word. That would be a big fat lie. You know? Because it was not something that I have ever done. Remembering enough detail from 30 years ago was really hard, you know, because I didn't take notes then.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
I didn't take any notes. I didn't
have Instagram to flick back through.
I didn't have a lot of photographic evidence either. So it was a lot of up here that I had to work with. But it seemed, you know, it came out. It's been a lot of revisions and editing and formatting. And I think the finished product is going to be great. It's going to, like I said, it's going to be an easy read. So it's not complicated. It's not going to make you have to sit and, you know, your brain's going to explode. It'll just be light reading, kind of a fun journey and relatable. I think that's my biggest thing. This is going to be extremely relatable and hopefully help people to realize that you're in control of what you want to do. You know, I don't care how old you are, you know, that part doesn't matter.
Yeah. But I think that's you to a T, isn't it? Like the book, I think whenever someone writes a book, it's kind of a swan song to who they are as a person. If it's not, it jumps off the page and you stop reading the book. It's completely unrelatable. And you know, everything you just said there about the book, you could easily just say, this is who Susan is. And it's true, you know, very relatable, very honest, very straightforward, trying to make it as simple and as straightforward as possible. And that's just how you operate in life as general. Like I've known you for a while now and it's just so true of you. And it's what's so endearing about you. And I'm sure it'd be very endearing to whoever reads, listens to, or gets the book.
I really appreciate that. That's a goal. That's a big goal is to make it enjoyable, relatable, and leave people feeling like they're empowered that they can do it, you know? And I do have a section where I tell you how to do it. I mean, how to get started or whatever. There's tough love in there too, you know, because I could have used that back 30 years. If I had had some tough love thrown my way back in, you know, 20 years ago or something, the story would be a little different. Things would have started earlier or whatever, but you know, I give tough love out all the time. And I think that is part of it. We need to hear that. We need to understand where that it's coming from a point of love, but it's also something that we need to hear if we're going to make that change.
I'm interested to find out like, you know, like the heart of the book, the heartbeat of the book, the end goal of the book, let's say, is to empower someone to go and take action, right? So To that end, what's your opinion on how do we empower someone? How do we empower ourselves? Like, where does empowerment come from?
You know, that's a great question. I think that's probably going to be very different for each person. I think surrounding yourself with the right people, for me, that was a huge, huge game changer. And that didn't happen until I was in my 50s. So I was late to the game on that. Interestingly enough, I had, and I talk about this, I had a bunch of different trainers throughout the years at the gym, you know, different gyms that I belonged to. And I learned something from each and every one of them. But there was never one that had the whole package, meaning the nutrition piece and the training piece. And I honestly think 10, 15, 20 years ago, that's kind of how it was. The gym trainers just, that's not, they were there to train you in the gym. That was it. There was no talk of nutrition, really. Nowadays, I feel like it's a little different. I mean, I feel like, especially the trainers at the gym I go to, they're more well-versed now as than I worked with anybody before, you know? So I think things have changed, but finding the empowerment, I think starting small is one way to do it. Setting yourself up for success with small things to build the confidence. And I talk about that a little bit in the book about things that you can do that you don't have to change a million things. Like a lot of people feel like, well, by the time they get to my age, they've got so many things they got to change that it's like, they get so overwhelmed. They just stop. They don't do anything. And they just keep spinning their wheels. And so I talk about a little bit, the couple things that you could pick to focus on. You know, we all talk about that and how those little stepping stones can lead to bigger things. And I speak a lot of the things that we put on ourselves. Like for real, I think in 2021, the words should be and only should be completely removed from our vocabularies, because I truly feel like those are holding so many people back.
I've done many posts on the word only. It started, I can't remember where it started. I had a client, Nicola, God bless her. We had so much fun training each other. And she was on the bike and she looked at me and she went, Adam. I was like, what? She's like, I've only lost 2 pounds this week. Yes. And I looked at her, I went, you what? And I was like, and I just said to her, I went, when was the last time you lost 2 pounds? When's the last time you told me that sentence? She went, I don't know. I was like, right. So you don't know the last time you told me that you'd only lost 2 pounds. This week, you've lost 2 pounds. Why are you attaching the word only to it? You know, like, why are you taking away your win? Why are you completely and utterly disempowering yourself for something that is a huge success? Or you didn't only lose 1 pound. I can't remember all the examples I used. You lost a pound, right? It's a fact. There's no opinion attached to it, especially a negative one like the word only. You did it. It's not, I was only able to lift 60 kilos this week. It's, I lifted 60 kilos this week. Whether that is more or less than what you did last week is irrelevant. You've done it. The action has taken place, and that's what you need to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. I think we set ourselves short so much with that. Yeah. And it's one of those things. I actually had a conversation with a woman on a consult right before I came on with you. And I would kind of threw that back at her. I said, you know, you were telling yourself you should be doing this. You should be doing this. You should only have done that. And you need to take those words out and kind of flip the script, because once you get rid of these unrealistic words and unrealistic expectations and think that there's this finish line that you're trying to get to that doesn't exist, you take that pressure off your shoulders. That burden is gone. The burden of having to perform is now gone. And so now what happens is you can focus on the journey itself and getting stronger and building some muscle and feeling better and moving better and having fun. For God's sakes, we lose that in all of this, right?
I think that is really what I'm going to put front and center in 2021 to all my clients. I'm like, look, I'm very much going to push away from them trying to lose weight or setting that as a goal. I'm going to very much push them towards performance goals, which I think is a much better way forward. And without a doubt, just enjoy yourself, please. Please just enjoy yourself, because without that, like, you know how like you always talk about the line of motivation. So it's action, then results, then motivation. Mm-hmm. I've always said without enjoyment in front of all of that, you never get any of it.
And you have to put that at the heart of what you do. I think that's a great message to put out there.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if you don't enjoy what you're doing, well, first of all, you won't do it, right? I mean, so what's the point? And then, you know, we have one shot on this planet here, and I think it's really imperative to take advantage of every day that we have. And it's really interesting because as I've gotten older, this sits with me more and more. You know, watching my parents decline and both of them passing away, and watching how that happens and realizing that, yeah, time is not what we think it is. It's not as long as what we think. And that is on my mind a lot. I mean, the mortality thing is here because I'm 60 years old now. And I have made it my mission to enjoy myself more downtime. I'm learning how to take more time for myself and to do other things. And I'm trying to get other people to do that too. Because honestly, if you're not enjoying yourself through this journey or whatever you want to call it, what's the point? I mean,
if you're not enjoying life,
and it's going to be, you know, it's going to go like this. So I think you don't want to have any regrets at the end of the line, you know? No.
I put a post up this morning. I did a podcast, like a solo podcast. It was my story. Very, 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 what's the word? Artistic. And on that, like, I go into why I am who I am, why I've become the gym starter, why I'm this, that, and the other, and everything else. And on it, I talked about, I've always had a sense of fate, because I'm not sure if you know, but I have a congenital heart disease. I was basically dead at some point in my life when they operated on me and they had to restart my heart and all the rest of it, which is an incredible thing to have come with. But what it's always done for me is it's always given me that strength of conviction, that strength of character. Like, I have my chance. I got another chance. I had that moment. I was kept alive for some reason. And that's why I chased doggedly, like, my acting. And that's why I was so passionate about wanting to be an actor, because one, I wanted to do something, I wanted to enjoy my life. I was given the chance to enjoy my life, so I might as well grab it with both hands. But also, I wanted to allow other people to enjoy their lives. And through entertaining them, I think it's one of the greatest ways of doing that. And then as I've got older, as my life has changed, that's morphed into being the gym starter. And it's very much the same. I'm here in service to make people's lives better through making them enjoy their lives just that little bit more. And that's really where I put that. And that's why I live the way I live. And I was very fortunate that I had that realization, you know, from like the age of 10, I knew I couldn't take this life for granted. But what's important is, yeah, I had it when I was 10, but if you're having it only listening to this, if you have it when you're like you were when you was 50, 60 years old, if you have it when you're 80 years old, at least you still have a chance to grab it with both hands. And it should be something that at some point, at some phase in your life, you're going to put enjoyment for yourself first. Yeah.
So important. So important.
Yeah.
A lesson learned later in life for me, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But do you not feel like, do you feel like you lost previous parts of your life because it wasn't there beforehand or not? Do you just accept it for what it was, and now you're just really enjoying the ride?
I would really be lying if I said, I don't have any regret. You know, I mean, because I think we learn so much from everything. So do I have would I like to have done things a little differently? Sure. I mean, would I have liked to have discovered maybe the way to do my nutrition better in my 40s instead of my 50s? Of course, sure. But have I learned more maybe because it happened the way it happened? Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't be here right now, you know? I don't know. But so is there some regret that I didn't? Yeah, but you know what? I think that's normal to feel that way, but I don't think it's kind of like when we see the scale go up and we don't like the number going up and we have that little lump in our stomach. That's okay to feel that. But when it's not okay is when we take that feeling and let it dictate all the extreme things that we do. So with regards to this, it's okay to have some regrets, I think, but I don't think it's okay to sit there and bemoan them and just, oh my God, I screwed up so bad. And no, I mean, it's over and done with. Yeah, it would have been nice. Okay, but look at where I am now, you know? And so you kind of accept it and you move on. Yeah, that's kind of where I am.
I get messages on social media and people come to me and they're like, Oh, I've just found your page and I'm finding it so helpful, which is always a nice compliment. And and they're like, and I can't believe that I didn't know about this beforehand. Like, you know, I've done this, I've done that. I've neglected myself for X amount of years. I was on a call to a new client the other day, and she's done Slimming World off and on for the last like 6 years or something. Like every 6 months, she'd just go back to it and back to it, and she felt like she'd just wasted the time. And it's like, what you must always remember when you're being philosophical about a situation like this, and when you come to an enlightened moment, I always say, you must remember that every decision you've made has led you to this place now. And mm-hmm. this place now, if that is your savior, if this place now is your enlightened moment, then you should be thankful for the journey that you've gone down to end up at that moment in time. Because without all of those stepping stones, there is no way you'd be here now. You might not have got to me for another 5 years. So don't regret this path you've taken. Just accept it and understand that you wouldn't be sending me this DM right now if you hadn't have walked down that path.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't have been connected with you right now. I wouldn't have been probably connected with, you know, who all these other people. I mean, so yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think I can look back and say, yeah, it would have been interesting if I had learned what I've learned later, earlier. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm here now. And the interesting part about this is that I am feeling as good and as strong and whatever as I ever have in my life at my age. So I can't complain about that one bit, not one bit, you know, even on days where I feel fluffy and I don't like, you know, okay, it's okay to feel that, but you know what? It's just part of what's going on. It's just every day. It's something we keep going, right? We just don't let those feelings take over and drive what we do, which you and I both see this all the time with people, right? If the scale goes up, you know, oh my God, it went up. Like, I had a scale spike a couple of weeks ago. Every day my weight went up. And I was telling somebody, I don't like that. I didn't do anything weird, you know, to cause that. I went through the same emotions that every single person does. No one likes to see the scale go up. No one. But now I feel that and I just keep going. Whereas before I would have felt that and I would have let that fear dictate my, okay, I better reduce calories now. Tomorrow is a low calorie day. You know, I don't do that anymore. And I think that's significant. I think the message needs to be, it's okay to feel that way, but it's not okay to let those feelings determine what you do.
Yeah. It's not okay to let those feelings impact your resolve in being consistent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. And you know, but they're completely right. But we always let our feelings get in the way of our resolve to be consistent, don't we? Like even at work, I've worked in many offices and office jobs or schools or whatever. And like, you know, and I'm sure you remember when, because you used to be a band, was it a band lead? You used to be a school therapist?
A band director and a counselor. Yeah.
Yeah. And look at the memory on me. And you have a row at school, something goes wrong at school or at work or whatever. And you do, don't you? You take the next couple of hours off to just get your head around it, to figure it out and everything else. And then in many ways, in the moment at work, you probably give in to the slave, to your consistency, to resolve to be consistent. You give into it. You think everything's up in arms. You probably research new jobs and stuff like that. But then there's something magical about having to go to a workplace like that, in the sense that you have to show up at 9 o'clock the next day and you have to do a day's work to get paid. And so it automatically forces you to get back onto the consistency roller coaster. And it doesn't allow you that chance to just let everything slide by the wayside just because you had a rough day, you know. Yeah. And then often what happens in those situations is the days begin to improve. Things start to get a bit better. And just by your ability to be consistent. So you should probably take that forward. What have you got planned for the rest of 2021? Other than a book launch?
Got a lot of cool things happening in the inner circle. Jordan and I have a lot of projects to get done. A big one we're going to drop probably the end of January, mid to end of January. Big surprise for our members. And then a lot of projects. So that is my full-time gig is getting the inner circle up and running, continuing to get it running and bringing in new people and helping everybody. And we do some calorie cycling challenges. Those have been great. a life-changing for a lot of people who don't have great relationships with food, which is our point. So yeah, a lot of that. And learning, still learning how to step away at night. Like I've made a deal with myself that some things, like I'm always having to clean up my iCloud, just confession time. Right. And, that is a mindless activity. I don't need like creativity. I don't need to think. So I just, I'll do something like that after dinner, whatever, something that doesn't require work, but I won't work after dinner anymore. I just have drawn the line. And then what I try to do is I am try to get back. I'm an evening shower person. So I try to get in the shower like 8-ish. And then it's just like,
you've washed the day off.
If I want to watch something for a little bit, you know, just kind of, I'm not good at that. I struggle with that a lot. So that's something I'm personally going to work on in 2021, is just to keep getting better with that. Because I feel like when I am good with that, I feel better.
Yeah. I'm very similar. Like for this year, I've adopted a guiding light word as opposed to New Year's resolution. And that is liberty. And I'm going to try and take liberty forward in my life and whatever that means and stuff. And like, I've spent the majority of 2020 away from my fiance. Like she's been on the other side of the world to me. And I'm like, I'm this close to being with her. And a big problem in our relationship that was all on me, before was very much the, like, I'd be in my phone working. Like I'd be like, if I get a DM, I have to respond because it's potentially a client. It's potentially this, it's potentially that. I have to get a post up because it's potentially going to get someone to pay me money. Like it's work. I must do it. I've got to do this. I've got to be doing this. And like, and then what you end up doing is mindlessly doing it. And that's the worst bit. Like there's moments I could say to her, look, I've just got to get this done. I'm sorry. Like, just give me 5 minutes. It'll be done. But then it's the moments when I'm trying to be with her, but I'm not present with her, or I'm mindlessly just even aware of it. And until she goes, why is the phone in your hands? I'm not even aware the phone's in my hands. And it was awful. It was terrible. So a lot of like the back end of last year, I was working on really pushing away from social media, really developing a better relationship with it for me. So that when I am with Talia, because I've not been with her, I've had her taken away from me, but we're finally going to be reunited soon. Like I can be present with her. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to be with her and I'm going to maximize that time and I'm going to be so much better. And I feel like I'm in a better place to be able to control that. I'm not going to be chasing the money so much anymore because I don't need to. And that's a wonderful place to be in. And that's going to improve my relationship with her. It's really hard for when so much of your work is kind of done on social media. It's hard to comprehend that for many people, I think. I totally agree. Relationships.
Yeah, it's hard, but I love hearing that. That's great.
Yeah, let's see how long it survives. She called me out on it the other day. She was on the phone, it was on FaceTime, and I had the cricket on the telly. Australia were playing India. And she was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just, I'm talking to you on FaceTime, like flat out lie. She's like, no, you're not. And whenever I flat out lie to her, I'm like, I then have to come clean. I can't live with a lie. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm watching the cricket. She's like, you said you'd be here with me. What's the matter with you? So, you know, that's nice. So I'm glad she's still calling me out on it and I'll work on it completely.
Yeah, we're all a work in progress.
We are, without a doubt. Susan, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been amazing and wonderful to chat to you and for keeping me company.
Hey, it's been great to talk to you. Good to see that you're doing well. You're almost done.
I know.
I'm super excited for you.
3 days. I know. It's going to be
exciting. Yeah, I'm super excited.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Like, all the best with the book. It's Fitness at Any Age. Fitness at Any Age.
Fit at Any Age. Okay.
Fit at Any Age. What's the last bit?
Fit at Any Age. It's never too late.
It's never too late. Let that be the message of this podcast to everyone. It is never too late. I think that's a wonderful place to finish on.
Absolutely.
Susan, like, tell everyone where they can find you. I'm sure they know at this point, but go on, let everyone know.
Sure. Instagram is where I'm at a lot. Susan Niebergall Fitness. And posting, I have a big YouTube channel actually. So go head over there. I've got a lot of videos over on YouTube channel. Twitter. I drop little things here and there on Twitter. A lot of sports things on Twitter I do too. So I'm a huge sports fan.
Nothing wrong with that.
you know, Facebook, and my podcast is called the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. So I kind of focus on the whole, you know, the age thing and what we talked about today. So
yeah, and they're all really awesome places. Like I'm on Susan's YouTube most of the time. When I'm on YouTube, I don't go on it much, but when I'm on it, if I need answers or if I'm looking for something, Susan's a go-to girl. And without a doubt, obviously your podcast I listen to, which is always nice. It's such a friendly voice to hear. It's like I get a sense, I get like a dopamine hit every time I hear you in my ears. It's just like, oh, it's Susan, I can relax. It's lovely. It's really
it's mama.
Lovely. Yeah, yeah. It's the mama of the fitness industry.
I'm everybody's mom.
It's not a bad thing.
I'm old enough to be everybody's mom, and that's perfectly fine.
Susan, have a lovely evening. It is evening where you are, isn't it?
Have a good day.
I will. Thank you. I need a coffee. And my breakfast is at my door. Thank you so much. You have the best time. And honestly, as always, from the bottom of my heart and everyone who's listened to this, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode of The Fitness Solution with the astounding Susan Niebergall. Please go and check out her book. Please go and check out her YouTube. Please go and check out her Instagram and just have a nice chat with her. Tell her you found her via The Fitness Solution, and that'll mean an awful lot to her. She is a wonderfully kind-hearted person, as if you couldn't tell, and that be it from me. Now, don't forget, if you've enjoyed this, then you can get a lot more from me all over the place. You can head to www.thegymstarter.com and you can sign up for the Fitness Collective, which is £20 a month, and you get some really astounding content in there. The Fitness Collective is full of recipe books. I've got over 250 recipe books in there, vegan, vegetarian, low carb, high protein, amazing. They're all separate books. So yep, you can get all of those recipes. I also have over 500 workouts at this point, I think, in there for you to do, all in good progressive overload programmed manners. There's meditations in there, there's yoga in there, there's 10-minute workouts in there. It's basically your entire world of fitness that you should ever need right in your pocket. If you want to sign up for the Fitness Collective, then you can. It's £20 a month, payable every 3 months. It's £60 every 3 months. And that is available at www.thegymstarter.com. Added to that, if you want a bit more of a personalized program and you feel like you need a bit more of a connection like that, then I encourage you to maybe reach out to me for one-to-one online coaching. You can do that again via my website, www.thegymstarter.com, and we can arrange that. Just head to the one-on-one coaching link, and then you can fill out an application, and I'll respond to that immediately when I get it. And other than that, look, at the minute, I've moved to the Gold Coast here in Australia. Yes, it's sunny. Yes, it's hot. And yes, I am enjoying it, but I'm also on the lookout for friends. So if you know anyone here on the Gold Coast, if you know anyone who likes just meeting people or just having chats or whatever, then maybe forward in this episode, maybe tell them about me, pass it on, and maybe I can connect with them, because that would mean an awful lot to me as well. So look, like always, that's it from me. Don't forget to check me out, www.thegymstarter.com. Peace, love, and protein. High fives and positive vibes. You stay safe. Ciao, ciao.